All right, Yasher Koach. Everybody, thank you for joining our afternoon call once again. I want to echo Rabbi Shabtai's thanks to our sponsors, and as always, acknowledge and thank the Froelich Financial Group for their generous sponsorship as well. We're covering a new topic for the month of Elul. Our Elul's man of the afternoon call. We're doing different topics that relate to the Yamim Noraim. Last week we spoke about the role of Vidui. Beficha uvelvavcha la'asoso. Learned from Parshas Kisavo. I hope you enjoyed when you heard the Parsha. That the role of Vidui. And this week we're moving over to another topic. It's a topic that's relevant every year. I think it's very relevant this year. For some people, their Rosh Hashanah experience is not nearly as expansive or comprehensive, as robust as it normally is. The inability to participate in a minyan at all, maybe not in a minyan more fully. And that makes the home an even more central place of the Rosh Hashanah experience for some this year. In an ordinary year, the shul is the central place of the Rosh Hashanah experience. It's where we go for the davening for most of the day, maybe shiurim, learning, and so on. So one of the things that happens in the home on Rosh Hashanah, some are more strict and some are more lenient in this area, is the question of the siman. By a show of hands, how many people make a Rosh Hashanah Seder at their yontif table with the simanim? Okay, about half the hands went up. How many people here dip apple or dip challah in the honey rather than salt? Almost all the hands went up. So there are some universal customs associated with Rosh Hashanah that take place in the home. This notion of simanim. Now, if you've ever learned with me over the last several years, you know that I'm not a big fan of skulos and superstitions. My Rebbe, Rav Schechter, always says, we left that behind in Mitzrayim. We were taken from Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is a land of superstition and silliness. And we were rescued, and we were emancipated, and we were told to cling exclusively to Hashem. Tomim tiyem Hashem lokecha. We don't worship red strings. We don't worship baba mices. We don't worship narishkeit. We worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shalom. And then all of a sudden, a people who do not subscribe to superstitions sit down at a Rosh Hashanah table, and we start dipping an apple in the honey because we'll have a sweet new year. And many have a long list, an agenda, almost paralleling the Kadesh Urchatz Karbas Yachatz that begins the Pesach Seder. Before we sit down for the Rosh Hashanah meal at night, we launch into a Seder. You may find interesting, Rav Yoshev was makbid not only on having the simanim the two nights of Rosh Hashanah. It says Rabbeinu Nag, I'm not reading inside, I'm reading outside. Rabbeinu Nag lechos the simanim bebeis u'das alayla u'bebeis u'das hayom. Rav Yoshev was makbid to have the simanim to eat these symbolic foods, not only the two nights of Rosh Hashanah, but during the two daytime meals as well. B'tchilas hasuda achar birchas hamotzi. He would make it past hamotzi, and then before commencing the meal, would begin the simanim. Would begin the simanim. Even though the Shulchan Aruch only talks about somewhat generically, yadam ragil achol, that you should be ragil to eat, and doesn't say exactly when. And Shari Tshuva, the name of the Eliyahu Rabba, quote that it should be during the two meals of the night. But the Ben Yehoyada in Horios, we'll see in a moment, and others, the Mata Ephraim, say not only during the night, but during the day. I know it's hard to get at least my family to agree to do the simanim even the second night. By the time you get to the second night, all right, the fish head, the sheep head, the carrots, the fenugreek, the gourd, we're done, we had it. Not much of an appetizer. There's a rebellion. But to do it both nights and both daytime meals, I don't think we see that often, but Rav Yashav followed that opinion of the Ben Yehoyada, the Mata Ephraim, and of others. So what we'll spend our time with this afternoon is examining this custom, this practice, this notion of the simanim. Where does it come from? Why do we do it? And isn't it not only inconsistent, doesn't it contradict our sacred tradition that we don't believe in superstition? So where does it come from? We begin the Gemara in Horios Daf Yud Beis. And the Gemara here says the following. The Gemara in Horios is listing different practices that we might think of as sorcery or necromancy or superstition, and yet the Gemara seems to endorse it. Amar Rabbi Ami, I'm starting on the top.
Can you make the print a little bit bigger, please?
Sure. We'll try to make it a little bit bigger.
We have a few senior citizens here.
No, I'm pretending it's for you, but really I just did that for me. That's where I could avoid putting on my glasses.
That's what I'm on my reading glasses.
If a person wants to know if you're going to live out the year, Nasle Shraga Basar Yomid Ben Rosh Hashanah Yamakipurim. Light a candle for the 10 days of between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, Asar Simei Tshuva, Bebeis Yedel Anashiv Zika, in a house where there's no wind. If the light continues to burn as long as there's oil there, in other words, though there's no wind, nothing blows it out. Neid the Masik Shata, you know you'll live out the year. And if you want to know if you should undertake a certain business venture, and you want to know if you'll succeed or not, Lirabe Tarnagola, raise a rooster for the purpose of that business venture, Isham and Vishapir, if the rooster grows fat, plump, if the rooster continues to grow, matzlach, then that business venture, that investment, will give you a healthy return. If you want to know if you should go on a certain place, should we sign up for that Pesach program? Should we sign up for that summer program with Goldberg in the national park? And you want to know if you're going to return home safely or not? Will it go well? Stand in a dark house. If you see your shadow of your shadow, you'll know you're going to come home. So the Gemara gives this list of practices, but rejects the last one. Valav milsihi. You'll be distressed if you don't see your shadow, and then your luck will worsen. In other words, you'll create a self-fulfilled prophecy. If you didn't see the shadow of your shadow, and you presume that you're not going to return home safely, you will end up bringing about your own demise, because you'll create a self-fulfilled prophecy. So these examples of the Gemara, they seem very foreign to us, very superstitious. This is not Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. You're supposed to follow these different things. So the Gemara goes even further. And the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Hashda Darma Simani Milsahi, now that you're telling me that there are some omens which are significant, which are meaningful, which are indicative, there are omens which are not superstitious, narishkeit, but rather they themselves are revealing, Kadosh Baruch Hu's telling you, getting a window into what's going to be. La'olam Yehi Ragya Lamechze Bereshata, you should always be accustomed to see at the beginning of the year, Kara Verubia Karte Vesilka Vitamre, a gourd, a fenugreek, leek, beets, and dates. Now, if you have a Rosh Hashanah Seder in your home, that list, that menu, is not foreign to you. You recognize that menu because those are the simanim. They appear in the Artscroll Machzer, the Koran Machzer, probably even in the Birnbaum Machzer. I didn't check. But in Machzorim, universally, we have this list. Because the Gemara says, if in fact we're subscribing to the notion that omens, that simani milsa, that there's meaning to it, so let's invoke these simanim. Let's invoke these signs and symbols at our Rosh Hashanah table. It will have a positive impact. Again, this seems very, very foreign to what we believe and to who we are. So what's going on here? That's what we're going to look at together. The Gemara continues. When you want to enter and learn in front of your teachers, first study the Mishnah well, then go. When you sit there, look at his mouth. Simanim are meaningful, so look at the face of your Rebbe, your teacher. V'chigar sisu, and when you study, girsu al nahara demaya, study by a river of water, d'chihech demashchar maya, just as the river flows, your learning is going to flow. And live by a garbage heap of masa machasya, don't dwell by the palace, better to eat a gildana fish that's about to putrefy than kutach, which is hard enough to throw on the rocks. The Gemara has all kinds of advice we don't really relate to or identify with, but nevertheless, couched right in the middle there, where I conveniently underline for you and will be our subject for today, is this concept that simanim milsa, simanim milsa. Now, doesn't the concept of simanim milsa fly exactly in the face of a pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim Vayikra, Perek Yutes, source number 2? Lo sochlu al adam lo senachashu velo seonenu. You're not allowed to eat over blood, and you shall not indulge in sorcery, and you shall not believe in lucky times. I gave a chabura 2 Shabbases ago on Shabbos morning here at BRS, and the chabura was on the following topic, the first half of this pasuk, lo sochlu al adam. Lo sochlu al adam, the Gemara in Brachos has 5 interpretations, the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a 6th. The 6th interpretation is the one that we know famously, you're not allowed to eat before you daven. Why? Lo sochlu al hadam. Don't eat breakfast. Don't engage in your own, don't pursue your own interests. Don't take care of your own tzrachim, your own needs, al hadam, before you daven for your own blood. So the question I was asked by one of our local schools was, in Corona times, this was a Corona shayla, in Corona times, where we're supposed to minimize or limit or eliminate the amount of time students remove their mask, and eating demands you to remove your mask, and they have to go into pods and clean up, and it's complicated. So the question I was asked was, is it better to tell the children, come to school and we start with davening? It's a high school. Come to school, we start with davening, and then jump right into shir, but you'll eat breakfast at home, which means you're eating breakfast before davening. Or tell the students, daven at home, or daven in shul, and then you could have breakfast and then come. Meaning, better to tell everyone daven at home to avoid eating breakfast before you daven, or eat breakfast at home and come to school, daven, and jump into shir. So I posed the question to Rav Asher Weiss, and he wrote a tshuva, the Minchas Asher. He sent me a tshuva, 3 pages, and we shared it, although Rav Shechter Rebbe Willi disagreed, but with the conclusion, we shared it in a chabura. It was all based on this pasuk, L'sochel Adam. What's interesting is that this pasuk, L'sochel Adam, what we, the Gemara Chazal, interpret, and it's recorded in Halacha, means you're not allowed to do 3 things before you daven. Sheila Shalom, you can't say hello to your friend, which the Mishnah Berurah records, you don't say Shalom Aleichem. You'd say Tzafer Demaratov, which means good morning in Aramaic, or good morgen, or good morning. You're allowed to say good morning, but you can't give a greeting of a Shalom Aleichem. You can't offer a greeting before you daven. Number two is, you can't engage in Tzrachim. You can't do your, you shouldn't return email. You shouldn't exercise. You should not do your business dealings before you daven. And number three is, you're not allowed to eat and drink. And these three laws clearly overlap, but they're also very different, and they have different rules to them. That's what we talked about in the Chabura, which is not our topic for today. But what's the Pashup Shat? If that's the additional layer of interpretation, L'Sochel Adam means you're not allowed to eat before davening, Rav Travasher concluded they can eat during davening during a pandemic, if it means especially that they may not otherwise daven. L'Sochel Adam. But what's the Pashup Shat? So it's very interesting. The Rashbam, the Chizkuni, and the Rashbam, the Svarna, we shared many, many interpretations that all have to do with sorcery. Apparently, in antiquity, in biblical times, idolaters thought there was some good, positive omen or good luck to eat next to a corpse. So some interpret L'Sochel Adam means don't eat in the cemetery. Some mean don't eat next to a corpse. I think it's the Chizkuni who says that there's a form of idolatry where they would eat next to a murder victim. There are all kinds of idolatrous notions, and that's the simple Pashup Shat of what the Pasuk is telling us, Lo Sochlu Al Adam, which makes sense because the rest of the Pasuk has to do with superstition. Lo Sanachashu, you cannot indulge in sorcery, Velo Sonenu, and you shall not believe in lucky times. So Lo Sanachashu means you can't engage in sorcery. You're not allowed to follow a horoscope or the Psychic Friends Network. You're not allowed to try to spin the wheel and whatever it tells you to do, that's what you're going to do. It's a big question. Recently I was talking to a woman and she was deciding where to move and she wasn't sure. So she opened one of the Rebbe's igros. There's a minhag among Chabad. You open the Rebbe's letters and you're able to deduce from whatever letter you open to that the Rebbe is giving you advice about where to go. And I'm not criticizing the minhag Chabad, but others feel that this is lo sanachashu. This is exactly what we're not meant to do. You're not allowed to follow some superstition or some indication other than tamim tiyem hamashem lekecha, other than putting all of our faith directly with God. So where does the Gemara... The Goral Agra is also employed very rarely and by very specific people. And what exactly does it mean? Right, so the Goral Agra, or opening the Igros of the Rebbe, how is that not a violation of Lo Sanachashu? I'll allow the Talmidim of the Gra and the Talmidim of the Rebbe, ironically they can team together to defend those practices. But the point I'm bringing is Lo Sanachashu, just in general, you're not allowed to follow superstition. So you're telling me that if I dip apple in honey, if I eat a gourd, fenugreek, leek, beets, and dates, all of a sudden I'm going to have a good year? How is that possible? What does this mean? What's really going on over here? That is our topic for today. The Gemara here explains on what this prohibition was in Achashu. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadihei tells us the following. Rav of a kasel be Rav Chanan Chasnei. Rav is going to the house of a son-in-law. Chazim b'bar de kasel ape. As he arrived at the river, he saw there was a ferry. Amar b'bar kasel ape yom etava legav. A ferry is coming towards me. Oh, it must be. There's a good sign. In other words, the bus came right when I got to the bus stop. The subway picked me up right when I got there. It's a good sign. The light turned green right when I pulled up. Clearly, I meant to go where I'm going. After crossing the river, he went and stood at the gate. He looked at a crack. And he saw slaughtered animals hanging. There were dead animals that were hanging there. Meat hanging. He knocked. Everyone came out to greet him. Also, Tabachinami, the butchers who were preparing the barbecue, also came out. And they left the meat unsupervised. La'olim Rav Eine Mine, Rav did not stop looking. Amalhu Eichu Hashta, he said to the butchers, if I relied on you, Svisilu Isuril of Nebras, you would have fed forbidden food. Why? Because we have a prohibition of what's called Basush Nasali Minayim. You're not allowed to eat unsupervised meat. We're mixing in a whole bunch of topics today. There's a prohibition of basash nesalim in ayin, which is why if you ever order particularly fleishiks and it's delivered, it has to be sealed. It has to be labeled. Otherwise, it's basash nesalim in ayin. If a non-Jew or non-observant Jew delivers it, we have a fear that maybe that meat was switched out. Maybe it was tasted. Maybe it was tainted or contaminated. How do you know it's pure? How do you know, in fact, is how it is being identified? Basash nesalim in ayin. Do we apply that to Dag Shina Salaman Ayin, Ov Shina Salaman Ayin? How that applies to other areas of halacha is a big question, not for now. So he says, you all came out to greet me. Good thing I kept my eye on the meat, on the barbecue, on the grill, because otherwise we would all be going hungry. Lo'ocha Rav Mehu Bisra, Rav didn't eat from it. My time, oh, why not? Imishim Yalume, if it's because it was unsupervised, halo ilan. Rav was watching it. So why did he not eat it? He just told them, it's a good thing I kept my eye on the grill. So why wasn't he eating it? Says the Gemara, Ela de Nachish. Rav refrained because he had practiced Nachish divination. Any divination which is not like Eliezer with Avram or Yonasan with Shaul is not divination. So Rav, who just took the time, the ferry at the right moment, and he took it as a good sign, but he didn't actually change any behavior or action or choice because of it, that's not really Nichush. The real reason was Rav didn't want to eat from an optional feast. He only ate from a Siddus mitzvah. He didn't want to partake in some frivolous barbecue, fressing, all-you-could-eat buffet and indulge when it wasn't really a Siddus mitzvah. But what do you see here in the Gemara? The Gemara Chulin here qualifies and characterizes the prohibition of Nichush. That Nichush, divination, Nichush is when you interpret an omen and you therefore deduce a certain conclusion because of it. The Gemara says and limits it and qualifies it, it has to be like the Nichush of Eliezer, Eved Avram, and Yonasan ben Shaul. What is that Nichush? What does that mean? We're going to come back to that in a moment. But the question is, how is this Simanim not that Nichush? How are those Simanim? Simani Milsa. What happened to Simani Milsa? So how are these Simanim not considered Nichush? Not considered Nichush. Okay. Ira says, the Ramban says they used to dig a hole in the ground, pour blood in it, sit in a circle, and that was losochlu al hadam. They ate with the shedim, dafka with the dam. Again, another interpretation of how the first half of that pasuk makes sense within the context and framework of the rest of that pasuk. Rav Sternbach, Rav Moshe Sternbach, of the Eidach Haredes in Yerushalayim, formerly of South Africa, in his Tshuvas on Hagas Chelik Bey says the following, Heach linog b'simanim ha'acholim b'leil Rosh Hashanah. He says, Nedrashti kamapam heach lisnag b'simanim ha'acholim b'leil Rosh Hashanah. I've been asked many times, what is the proper way to conduct ourselves when it comes to the simanim? V'yesh b'zeh shuni minhagim harbe. There are many different customs. V'avi b'siyata d'shmayim minhagim b'zeh. The Gemara in Hori Yossi quotes our Gemara of Ayin Shal B'mesorish HaShas B'shem Ha'orach D'garaz L'mechzeh. Very interesting. The Orach has a different girsa. Our Gemara Horio says, Hashta da'amra simani milsa, now that you said that symbols or omens are meaningful, they're indicative, they're valid, yehei ragil, you should accustom yourself inish lemechal, to eat. However, the Orach had a different girsa. And the Orach said, it doesn't say to eat lemechal, but lemechze, you should look at. So we have a few sources that say the real girsa is not that you eat these simanim, but simply their mere presence. You look at the simanim, and they have a positive influence. However, when the Shulchan Aruch records the practice of simanim, it says eat. Says Rav Sternbach, it's not a small matter. It's not an insignificant thing. It's not an insignificant thing, excuse me, to employ. We should hedge every way that we can. It's Yom Adin. We're coming before Hashem in judgment. This is going to determine our year. So do everything you can. And if you can engage the simanim, engage the simanim. Look at them, eat them, do everything you can with them to fulfill all the opinions about them. However, according to the earlier sources who said you look at the simanim, you don't eat them, it sounds like specifically you look at them and you davka don't eat them. It's not that if I look and eat, I can fulfill all the opinions. Those who say you should look mean only look, don't eat. Why? Because once you're eating it, maybe you're eating the appetizer. Now, it's really not an ordinary appetizer. I don't know how many people here usually have a variety plate that includes fenugreek, leek, pomegranate, fish eyeball, and so on. And if my wife tried serving that to me on an ordinary Friday night, I might return the plate. However, if you eat it, maybe you're eating it because that's the appetizer. When you don't eat it, but look at it, maybe that's what makes it a simon. You take it in your hand, you look at it, and you say, and you hold it, you say the yiratzon, you look at it, you don't eat it, and according to those opinions, that is specifically how you fulfill this notion of simanim. So says Rav Sternbach, in the Sternbach home, they do both. They look at it, they say the Yehi Ratzon, and then they also eat it in order to try to fulfill all of the opinions and all of the approaches to what the role of the simanim is. V'teikaf b'voinim mibeis hakneses muchan b'ka'ara kol haminim. As soon as we get home from shul, the Rosh Hashanah Seder plate is already laid out. It's already ready to go. V'anunoag in l'haktem likach kulam b'yad v'lo l'chol od az klal. Rak lokech t'marim b'yadav v'lo ochel v'omri yiratzon shiit m'son enu. He says we take them in our hand and not eat yet. So first we start with the dates. And we say yiratzon shiit m'son enu. Without mentioning Hashem's name. We'll get to that in a moment. And then you take the rima and the pomegranate and you say, Yiratzon shiir b'zuchu yoseinu. May our merits increase. Tepuch b'dvash, the apple and the honey, Yiratzon, it should be a shana tova masuka. A good year, a sweet year. V'achar kach ruvya u'shum shum l'svaradim. And then you take gezer, you take sesame for the svaradim, Yiratzon shiir b'zuchu yoseinu. And then you take the karate, the leek, shiyichra susoneinu. And then you take pumpkin, shiyikra roag zardineinu. Achar kach silka, you take radish. Shistalku sonenu. V'achagach rosh dag, the head of the fish. Shenifra v'nir b'kedag. We should multiply and promulgate. V'nia l'rosh v'lon l'zanav. We should be the head, not the tail. V'ein ochlen od az klal. And we just take them in our hand and say the yiratzon, but don't eat it then. Rak lokech b'yad mistakko on the simon atal k'vei shivenu yiratzon. V'achagach kiddush en hamotzi. Then you recite Kiddush, then Hamotzi. Umiyad achar achilas kizayis lachem. Then you make Hamotzi, dipping it in the salt and then the honey. Then now you return to the Rosh Hashanah Seder plate and eat them one by one, starting with the dates, with the full Yehi Ratzon, with Hashem's name. Then you make Abor Pri Eitz. Then you make Lifnei Achilas Rimon, the pomegranate Yehi Ratzon, and then the apple and all the minim according to that order, according to that order. Okay, so Rav Shtormach has really an unusual. I doubt anyone here has this practice. In order to fulfill both, before you sit down for Kiddush, you hold up the plate, you take each in your hand, you talk about its Yehi Ratzon without Hashem's name, then you make Kiddush and Hamotzi, dipping your challah in the salt and the honey, then you go through the plate in the correct order, this time saying the Yehi Ratzon with Hashem's name and eating it, and that way, says Rav Shtormach, he fulfills both opinions, that the benefit of the simanim is to look, and the opinion, the benefit of the simanim is to eat. Now the Gemara itself said that a person should you should accustom yourself at the beginning of the year. Vas means the beginning of the year. Does it mean night? Does it mean day? Does it mean both nights? Does it mean both days? Many have the custom just to do this Rosh Hashanah Seder with this menu on the first night. Why would you say Yehirogil? You should accustom yourself. It was just once. Sort of Shtormbach, like Rav Yashuv, like the Mata Ephraim and others, every single meal goes through the Rosh Hashanah Simonim. Now, if you hold that you're not supposed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah, you might as well go through the simanim. There's nowhere to go. There's no rush to the meal. There's no reason to bench. You're not going anywhere anyway. You might as well have this little Rosh Hashanah Seder at each and every meal. He quotes some of the custom to dip the challah in honey for all of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Many have the custom to do it all the way through Sukkos. He says, I never saw anyone who did it this way, to fulfill both the custom of seeing it and the custom of eating it. However, I also don't see any reason to object to it. And therefore, this is what he endorses. This is his method, this is his manner, this is his custom, and this is what he endorses. And he says, even though it's unusual, all of a sudden we're engaging this notion of simanim. What about nichush? What about lo sanachashu? Isn't this sorcery? Isn't this superstition? Isn't this narishkeit? No, you cannot dismiss Chazal. And the great rabbis of the Gemara say, simanei milsa, and a person should le'olam yehei rogil, you should accustom yourself to do this. I don't know, if you want to hedge your bets and you want to do everything you can, you want to check every box as you're approaching the judge on the Yom HaDin, this is a good box to check, to cover all your bases, and this is included among the simanim. So back to our question though. Now we saw his practice and the best way to do it. The best way to do it, that's Rav Shtormbach's way to do it. Rav Yashav had a different practice, by the way. This is not in the source sheets. But Rav Yashar, it says, Rabbeinu Hikpid Levarach Boi Pri Adama Kegon Al Banana V'Liftor Asasimanam Shebid Brachas and Boi Pri Adama. He'd make a Boi Pri Adama on a banana. Banana grows from the bush, not a tree. Many people don't know that. It's a trick question. And a brachas be, the banana is Adama, not Ha'etz. He'd make Adama on the banana and cover all the Adamas. He would say, Hasimanu she'ochem b'leil Rosh Hashanah yishmeim she'safik imtzorach levarach aleim so chasuda lekara rubya silka b'chol yimas Hashanah b'vadehim b'yimach masasuda ve'in mevarachan aleim. All year long, if you'd eat those in the meal, they were lalafes zapas, they were somehow complementing the meal, they wouldn't get their own bracha. But achshav she'ochel asam b'torah simanim, but when you eat them on Rosh Hashanah, in the context of being simanim, yesh ladan he'im chayivam b'bracha. Now the Nusach, Rav Yashar was makbid, he would leave out Hashem's name. He would not mention Hashem's name, he left it out. The Mishnah Berurah, when he quotes this practice, the Mishnah Berurah says, Yehi Ratzon, Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. We mention Elokei, we mention Hashem's name. However, Rav Yashar's practice was to leave it out. Similarly, the Stipler left it out. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach would mention Hashem's name, but only for the first time and not the subsequent ones after it. So there's different minhagim of exactly the order and exactly the timing and exactly do you have to make a Borei Pri Adama when you make a bracha and the Hiratzon, do you include Hashem's, do you not include Hashem's name? There's a lot. But I want to get back to the core question, the central question, which is what happened in Nichash? What happened to not believing in superstition and sorcery? Why in the world are we all of a sudden engaging in this practice? There are other simanim, by the way, at the table. The Ramah quotes. We'll get to it a little later. So the Tosfos in Chulin, we learn this Gemara in Chulin, right? The Gemara in Chulin define Nichash as relying on omens to determine future actions. So aren't we relying, simanata, this is a good omen for a good year? This will be a good year if you eat these things? So Tosfos says, "Kaz Eliezer ever Avram, v'im Tomer Eliezer heich nechosh." The man down perak Arba Misas called Amar Pershes Mechashiv Ben Noach Mazar Alav. Frag Tosfos, Tosfos wonders, Eliezer, the loyal student of Avram, how did he engage in nechosh? Now, what are we talking about? Because Eliezer is sent to find a wife for Yitzchak. Go get resumes. Go check out the young maid Lach and choose one for Eliezer for Yitzchak. What does he do? He comes to the well and he says, okay, God, here's the deal. The first one who feeds not only gives me to drink, but also offers my camels, that's a sign. That's an omen. That's how I'll know that that's the one. So I don't understand. According to the opinion in Sanhedrin and Vav, that a Ben Noach, a non-Jew, also is not allowed to violate sorcery or superstition. How did Eliezer come up with that deal? Why wasn't that a violation of Nichush that Eliezer made this deal that the one who will feed, give me to drink and the camel? That's Tosfos' question. So Tosfos answers, the Yeshlomer, Dahu Tana Savar, Shilonasan Latzmidim, Achigidu Labas Mihi. So Tosfos answers, now, not a problem. Why? Because Eliezer did not close the Shidduch just because she was the one who offered the water to the camels. He didn't offer the jewelry until he understood her Yichus, where she came from. So the fact that she offered was evidence, was helpful to Eliezer's conclusion, but he did not accept the shidduch, he didn't give the jewelry until he knew that she was family, until he knew that she really qualified, and until he knew she really qualified. So, why wasn't it nichush for Eliezer to condition the wife on this positive omen? Because he wasn't conditioning it on the omen. He really followed through, nevertheless, with researching the shidduch and with confirming that she was family. It was just an omen that complemented that work that he did anyway. The Maharsha in source number 6 also understands it this way in terms of what we're doing at the table. Let's make this even larger for the Maharsha. Nice, huh? Nice big font. So he wonders, how is all this behavior any better than actual nichush?
So
to make a simen that you believe and you have faith that everything God will do is good, you by definition are right, because everything God does is good. If you made a simen that is going to be bad, so if you see something and you say, uh-oh, that's a bad simen. The black cat walked in front of me. The person stepped over me. The red bendle fell off of my rib. Uh-oh, now everything's going to fall apart. Bad news, the market's going to plummet. My health is going to disappear. My relationship is going to dissolve. Bad news. To think that a simen is bad news, chas v'shalom, you can never give up on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can never give up. So says the Marsha, a simen ra, that's nichush. But a simen tov is not nichush. You know why? Because a simen tov is just affirming what we already know, which is that everything that God does is for the best. Everything that God does is for the good. So therefore, Tosfos is answering and explaining that how did Eliezer create this condition about her doing something good? Because he did not condition his next act upon it. He simply used it as a validating factor. But it's not that he said he'll allow Yitzchak to be married to Rivka, Davka, because she gave the water to the camels. He used that as another confirming factor, evidence that she's the one, that she's the Shirach. But you see that it alone was not the condition. It wasn't the omen, was not a superstition, because he wasn't willing to give the jewelry until he also confirmed she was part of the family. So the Tosfos' answer works for us as well. Why? Because we don't eat apples and honey and leek and fenugreek and carrot and beet and then decide, I don't have to go to shul tomorrow. It's not that the Rosh Hashanah night, we sit down, we dip the apple in the honey, and now for the rest of the meal, we can talk Lashon Hara. We dip the apple in the honey, and now we can go turn on the TV on Rosh Hashanah. Dip the apple in the honey, and now we can come late to Davening Shacharis. It's not that the dipping the apple in the honey guarantees us a good year, even if we don't do the other hard work we have to do. Says the Maharsha, understanding this Tosos, it's just a nice omen. It's a nice symbol. It's a nice validation. It's a nice compliment to what we need to do anyway. So we have to daven, and we have to do tshuva. And then we believe that everything Hashem does is for the best. And the positive energy that we create, says Tosfos, understands the Maharsha, the positive energy that we create is by seeing some validating, oh, it's a good sign. Baruch Hashem, the light turned green. Let's go. We're meant to be there. Let's go. What does that mean? If it were red, you weren't supposed to go. If it's green, that's the only reason you should go. No, it's just a nice validating factor. That's how Tosfos understands. That's how the Maharsha understands. The Maharal understands a little bit differently. The Maharal understands a little bit differently. The Maharal says the following. This is in Ber Agola on page Lamed Gimel. He quotes the Gemara in Horios, Amar Abaye Hashtam, Rasimara Milsa, and so on. V'gama Dar Zeh Matzasi Shem Tmim T'nei Shenir Elohem Shem Nichosh. Says the Maharal, where in the world is it coming from? This looks like superstition. What do you mean? We have stories in Tanakh of Elisha with the woman, the stories of Yirmiyah, and things are supposed to sprout. Why is that nichush? Omens and symbols and superstitions. Tie a stone to it and throw it into the river. And so on. So points the Maharal to several stories in Tanakh where it seems exactly a violation of Nichush. It seems like they're doing exactly what you're not allowed to do. Chas v'shalom, it's Nichush, writes the Maharal. It's a simen v'os, it's a sign and a symbol, lios nigmar hadavar. Meaning, it's not a superstition, because in some mystical way it works. It's a ringing endorsement the Maharal gives to the Ramban. Maharal is a Ramban fan. That Makubal ha'eloki, the godly mystic, who he alone has access to the secrets and the wisdoms and the foundations of Torah. And he writes in Lach Lecha, Dok hogzeres al yonim kashetetze agzere apol ha'dimyon te'agzere mekaimes ha'koponim. And so on. There's a fundamental disagreement between the Ramban and the Rambam about whether astrology works. Does it work? Mazalos. Do they work, but we're not supposed to buy into them, or they don't even work? For the Rambam, they're silliness. They're narishkeit. They don't work. They're nothing. And that's why we are forbidden from buying into them. For the Ramban, they're legitimate. They work. We're just not supposed to subscribe to them. We have Hashem. So says the Maharal in this debate, the Ramban is right. And if the Ramban is right, it means that there's a power, there's an energy, there's a mystical force in the universe. Generally, we're not supposed to buy into that or subscribe to it, except for when we are. So when the Gemara says the Simani Milsa of Rosh Hashanah, it's not that it's a superstition. You know why? Superstition is when it's silly. Superstition is when it doesn't work. Superstition is when it's narishkeit. But if it actually works, if it creates a true mystical impact and influence, if it's effective in some mystical way, then that's not called superstition. We are creating a sweet and a happy and this energy into the world. And then it will be fulfilled. Kodesh Baruch Hu has this storehouse of good waiting to flow into the world. And the key to unlock it and the key to bring it into this world are to do these omens and symbols. So it's not superstitious. Superstitious is to do silly things. To do something that's not silly, but actually in a mystical, Kabbalistic way, is the key to open the gate to enable the flow of good and sweetness into this world. That's why it's not nichush at all. So that is the reason that is offered by the Maharal. The same reason is also given by the Sefer Chassidim that explains it's not nichush because it works. It's not nichush because it works based on this interpretation of the Ramban. Okay, I'll tell you a couple, two other interpretations as well. One is Rav Natroi Gaon. Rav Natroi Gaon lived 1,100 years ago, and he writes, this is nichush latova. Nichush latova. There's bad nichush, prohibited nichush, and there's good nichush. And difficult to understand what it means, somewhat cryptic. There's bad nichush and forbidden nichush, and there's good nichush. Maybe it means along the lines of what we just said in the Maharal, that good nichush, because it's not really nichush, in a mystical way, you're actually drawing those energies into this world, and therefore it's impactful and it works in that way. The last interpretation or opinion is from the Or Zaruah and the Ravya, the Balei HaTosfos, later Balei HaTosfos, the Or Zaruah and the Ravya. And there's a lot on this, by the way, and we're trying to just give over the Rashi Prakim in a short time, but there are articles and articles written on this concept, on this topic of the eating Simanim on Rosh Hashanah. I'm just giving you the Rashi Prakim here. So the Or Zaruah and the Ravya give what I find the most compelling idea, and they say the following. They say that apples and honey, or these other Simanim, they don't actually impact things in a measurable or meaningful way, but rather, they put us in a good frame of mind. You know, the Bava Rebbe used to say, Tracht gut und sein gut. Did I say it right, Meshaleb? Did I get it right? Tracht good and sein good? Which was the order? If you think good, it will be good. If you think good, it'll be good. We have this idea in psychology. Modern psychology has this idea that if we think good, it'll be good. We create things in this world. We shape the reality by our thinking. If you're negative and pessimistic, you'll create a self-fulfilled reality, which is negative. And if you're positive and hopeful and optimistic and sweet, then you will have a self-fulfilling prophecy where you create sweetness and positivity and see things optimistically. So there was a Ruah and the Ravya, these Balei HaTosfos say, you know what Simani Milsa means? Simani Milsa doesn't mean that you're actually going to have a good year because you ate these things. That's silly. Don't connect the dots in that way. What it means is it's Rosh Hashanah night. Don't come to the table and talk coronavirus. Don't come to the table and talk the upcoming election. Don't come to the table and talk about the hurricane season. Don't come to the table and talk about how it's going to be on Sukkot. It's Rosh Hashanah night. Eat sweet and delicious things and talk about how sweet life is and how good life is and how positive life is. Now, by the way, if you want to understand the journey through the millennia of Jewish history, if you want to know what it's been like to be a Jew for the last 2,000 years, all you need to do is go through the Simanim. Because most of the Simanim have to do with destroying and eliminating our enemies. Right? Jews were not living in tranquility, serenity, peace, renaissance. Most of the Simanim, if you look at the list of Simanim, destroy our enemies, eliminate our enemies, vanquish our enemies, let us overcome our enemies. Overwhelmingly, the Simanim have to do with defeating our enemies, which is a window, tells you a little bit about what life was like throughout the millennia as a Jew. So according to the Ravya and the Or Zaruah, and again, I find this to be the most meaningful and most compelling, we're trying to create some positive thinking and positive energy because the way that we think is the reality that we create. So we saw four different interpretations. We began with the Rav Sternbach. Rav Sternbach, who first told us the order of how to do it. We saw Tosfos and the Maharsha that really you weren't using it as a condition, but as a confirmation or validation. We saw the Maharal that it really does have a true impact. That is a true impact based on the Ramban. We do shape the universe with these simanim. We don't subscribe to superstition unless it is prescribed superstition from Hashem, because then it's not superstition. He's giving us a prescription for how to use mysticism. And then we saw the Or Zaruah and the Ravya, who say that we are creating a reality. The Or Zaruah and the Ravya bring evidence. The Pasuk says in Nehemiah Perches, It says, Lech, go ichlu matamim, go eat your delicious foods, go eat your fatty foods, drink your sweet drinks, send portions to those who don't have anything prepared. Why? Because it's a happy day. This pasuk is always quoted in the context as Rosh Hashanah, a happy day, a sad day. Why we don't say Slichos on Rosh Hashanah? Because it's a happy day. Rosh Hashanah is a very schizophrenic personality we've spoken about at length in the past. But this pasuk in Nehemiah, Ezra declares, go eat your fatty foods and go drink your sweet drinks. And again, you see, say the Rav Yon, the Or Zarua from here, why are you engaging in those foods? Because be festive and be happy and be positive and be optimistic, and you will create that reality and you will create that kind of year, and that is the goal of the Simanim. How do we do them? How do we do them? So this is from the Sefer Minhag Yisrael Torah. Sefer Minhag Yisrael Torah here quotes the Nusach and Shulchan Aruch, Yiratzan Belo Sheim Malchus. Do you mention Hashem's name or do you not mention Hashem's name? It's a machlokas. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't omit it. The Shulchan Aruch omits it. But the author of the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef himself, quotes the Avudraham, who includes it. And we saw the different approaches that Rav Elyashiv and the Stipler omitted it. Rav Shlomo Zalman said it for the first one, and so on, and so on. Okay, next, in terms of the different minhagim. As soon as I learn how to turn this page sideways, there we go. You still with me? You see it? We're good. Thank you for shaking your heads. Ad masai nikra rei shasa. So when are you supposed to do it? Kasav zechrin shama ko asas mechuv nikran rei shasa. So like Yosha says, you know, at the beginning of the year, la'olam yehi ragil adam. A person should always be ragil in the rei shasa, in the beginning of the year. What is considered the beginning of the year? So we saw, is the beginning of the year the first night Rosh Hashanah? Is the beginning of the year the four meals of Rosh Hashanah? Is the beginning of the meal of the year the two nights of Rosh Hashanah? And here the Lekei Yosher says, you know what the beginning of the year is? All of Aseres Me'etshuva. U'me'ata kol ma'achol m'shkatzav Rav Yab Mordechai lecho Rosh Hashanah hu adin kol Aseres Me'etshuva. So the Lekei Yosher had a minhag. Again, I don't know anyone who has this minhag, but a minhag to eat these simanim, to have this Rosh Hashanah Seder, all Aseres Me'etshuva, all 10 days of repentance. He continues, he quotes the Minei Yisoschar, Midayik Mimash Amar Abayi, Adam Rog Lecho, Bereish Shasa. Why did he call it the Reish Shasa? Why didn't he call it Rosh Hashanah? Lahoros Lanu Davka B'Knisa Sashana, B'Lel HaRishon, Mitzrichon Lechol HaSimanim. So maybe the very fact that he didn't say, he should have said Rosh Hashanah if he meant all four meals. The fact that the Gemara doesn't say Rosh Hashanah, but says the beginning of the year, maybe that indicates only the first meal, only that first night. The Minag in our home is to only do the Simanim on the, we eat the honey through Sukkos, and some even beyond. The dentist, it's a major simen for the dentist if your kids dip the challah in the honey the whole year. That's a big skula for the dentist. I can promise you that. So he brings a raya, the Bnei Yisoschar, the fact that it says Reish Shasa instead of Rosh Hashanah, that must mean only the first night and not all four meals, and certainly not all of Aseres Me'etshuva. Okay. In addition to the ones that appear in the Gemara, Nispashe B'Kerav Yisrael, Od Harbe Minhagim, we have many other simanim that we incorporated as well. For example, Chalas. In Torah's Moshe, the Minig Menei Yisrael Shabbat Ashkenaz, Halacham Shov Mi Rosh Hashanah Ad Hoshana Rabba Osan Osa Agulim. Normally we braid the Chala. I think it's the Shlach Kadosh who brings down the reason that we braid the Chala is if it's reminiscent of the Shtei Alechem, which was 12 loaves. So the Chala have 6 braids in each loaf. You use 6 braids. You braid together 6 strands. The 2 loaves have 12 strands in them. So the 2 Chalas that are braided together are ki'ilu 12 challahs. That's the Shlach Kodesh brings down. But from Rosh Hashanah through Hoshana Rabbah, the minhag is to have round challahs. Why? Hatam da'osim ken la'simen tov, ki davar agul ein lokeitz v'sof, hu'simen tov la'arichas yamim lokeitz. A circle has no beginning and no end, so it's a skula for arichas yamim. Our lives should not have an end. A braided challah has a beginning and an end, has 2 ends to the challah. Some think that's a skula too. But a challah has 2 ends to it, a braided challah. But a circular challah has no ends. And therefore, maybe it's a simen that our life should have arichas yamim, should have no end. V'tamei menhagim hevitam acher. He brings a different reason. Shenogim pesach lasos ha-matzah is the same reason that matzah, hand matzah, is made round. She'efshay b'zmanahu chok ha-mitzrim lasos halach mishlan merubos. The Egyptians used to have square bread. Riboy alukush ha-minu. Because the many gods they believed in, the dualism, so they made square. The corners represent the amount of gods they worship. We make round. There is only one God. No beginning, no middle, no end. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The round challah, the round matzah, speaks to the unity of Hashem's existence. Hinei v'Rosh Hashanah omrim malchus. Rosh Hashanah, after all, we say Malchus, Kadesh Tamlichuni Aleichem. Rosh Hashanah is the day that we coronate God. So the challah, the round challah, looks like a crown. We're coronating God with the round challah, the crown that Kiviyachol we put on God's head. Some make challahs in the shape of birds on Rosh Hashanah, because the pasuk describes the kruvim, Porshe Kanafayim, kruvim arams and l'rachamim. The kruvim on top of the aron represent compassion, the image of the innocent, pure children, the angelic, imagery.
Also, kitziporim afot ken yagen Hashem tzvakot.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Harot tzipor b'chalom yashkim. The Gemara says, if you see a bird in your dream, wake up and you say, kitziporim afos ken yagen Hashem. Like the bird that flies, Hashem should protect us. So some also, others make the challah in the shape of a ladder. Why? Rosh Hashanah donis kol adam mi ani mi yasher mi shafel mi yarum. Who will be rich and who will be poor, and who will be lifted and who will be lowered. So we make a ladder climbing up to the rakia, climbing up to the heavens, that we should only be lifted and ascend on Rosh Hashanah, not lowered. So in addition to the simanim that are listed in the Gemara, we have here the idea of the round challah, or maybe the challah in the shape of the bird, or maybe the challah in the shape of a ladder. Kasav Magen Avram Yeshnogen Lataba Prusim Amotzi B'dvash. The Magen Avram quotes that we dip in the honey. Why in the honey? So very interesting. He quotes here several reasons about the honey. I'll just share with you that it's brought down that we use specifically Dvash Devorim. Normally in Tanakh, when we reference honey, we're talking about date honey. And yet on Rosh Hashanah, when we dip in honey, we are dipping in bee honey. Why specifically bee honey? So the Rebbe's in the Chassidus Sfarim, they say, because the bee honey, in order to collect or retrieve the bee honey, you have to suffer. You have to take a risk. You have to go into the hive. You have to potentially get stung. The sweetness of Rosh Hashanah, of a good year, comes with Mesiris Nefesh. It doesn't just, the honey of the date oozes out of the date, but the honey of the bee, you have to take a risk and you have to make an effort to be able to go get it. And the same is true for having a good year. It takes effort, it takes risk. A person has to be willing to get stung. You have to be Mosir Nefesh in order to be able to grow. A lot of different reasons for the honey. Tapuach. The Rama says, Nachal lachol tapuach matog bedvash, a sweet apple and honey. Tischadish alin shana tova mesuka. It should be a good and sweet year. The chayna again, and this is our custom. Why do we say shana tova mesuka? The Babach Rebbe Zatzal. Why do we say shana tova mesuka? So the answer is, by definition, it'll be a shana tova, because everything from Hashem is good. Command David Rachmanim Tava Ovid. Everything Hashem does is good. By definition, it's good. So by definition, it's a sweet year. By definition, it's a good year, rather. We hope that what's good is also sweet. There are bitter things that happen to us that are painful. Painful things happen to good people. Bad things don't happen, because everything from Hashem is good. So painful things happen to good people. Bad things don't. So our wish and our bracha to one another is, Shana Tova, good year it's going to be by definition. Everything from Hashem is good. It should not only be good, Tova, it should also be Mesuka. Do you say the Yiratzon, then the bracha on the apple? Do you say the bracha, take a bite of the apple, and then make the Yiratzon? Different minhagim, how to do it. We also have dagim, fish. Fish is another one of the simanim. Again, these are not mentioned in the Gemara. That's why these minhagim had to develop and be quoted later and after the fact. What's the reason for the fish? Some have a custom not to eat fish on Rosh Hashanah. The Magen Avraham quotes the Maharshal not to eat fish on Rosh Hashanah to minimize our indulgence. The Birkei Yosef quotes the Rashbeit, Tamacher, Daiga, Dag, fish sounds like worry, fear, anxiety, and we have nothing to worry about. However, we have fish multiply. Nogin Lechob Rosh Hashanah Dagim, V'huadas Mashanim Espalim, V'alim Karis Yikari Sun, Ikar Ritzon Yisbarach, B'yom Anor, She's Galik Vod Machuzo Aleinu. So therefore, we Yidavki eat the fish, some eat the eyeball of the fish, the Rosh Kevesh, Kasar Rama Ochel, Rosh Kevesh Lomar, Niyel Rosh V'lo Zanav, to be as a head, not the tail, and it's a zecher remembrance to the ram of Yitzchak. If you can get, often the kosher stores sell even the sheep's head to be able to eat. Basar shemen u'mini mesika, fat meat and sweet things. The Rama quotes to eat fat and sweet things. Again, the positive energy, the positive environment, the joy, the happiness, the smile, the optimism. Merin, what's merin?
Carrots.
Why? Nogan mitzvah lecho merin. Ashkenaz kor lemerin ribbon. David mamish loshon rubia. Vaminig lecho lemerin mitugan bedvash. Some people have carrots fried in honey. and the reasons I brought down. Lireya, to eat. Kraut, some specifically eat kraut, like cabbage, and chamutzim, things in vinegar. Kosim Avram, Magen Avram says, Dafka, not to eat sour things or not to eat things in vinegar. Don't bring those to the table. If you're going to eat a lemon, you're going to eat something sour, you're going to have a sour face, you're going to have a sour demeanor, you're going to have a sour perspective. You should not have a sense of being sour. So Dafka, don't eat the things that will make you sour. And lastly, we have the egos. The Rama says we don't eat nuts. Why? Egos is gematria chait. Egos and gematria is chait, so we don't eat an egos because you don't want to have the presence of chait. So one of my favorite Kotzkers, Kotzker Rebbe, Rav Menachem Mendel of Kotzk, oh, so sharp, so biting. So the Kotzker Rebbe said, you know what else is the gematria of chait? Chait. How many yontif tables are they not eating nuts or nuts in the recipes? How many shilas do I get? Rabbi, there's nuts, it's ground into the recipe in the kugel. Am I allowed to have that on Rosh Hashanah? You can't really see it, the nut is ground. What's called the nut? A walnut, the this nut, the pine nut in the salad, what's called the nut? So the Kotzker Rebbe said, you know what else is gematria chait? Chait. Halavai, we got so many shilas about people sit, they don't eat the nuts and the recipes at the Rosh Hashanah Seder table, but then they're busy speaking Lashon Hara. You know what else is gematria chait? Chait. And lastly, anavim, maiserav, the gra, not to eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah, apisod, for some mystical reasons. So you see, there's a lot of different that are given. At the end of the source sheets here, I bring you the art scroll agenda or itinerary of eating the simanim. So we saw Rav Moshe Sternbach's very novel interpretation. First you look at them, then make kiddush hamotzi, then you eat them to fulfill both opinions. Because Rosh Hashanah, we're coming Yom HaDin, we want to hedge our beds and do everything that we can. Aye, isn't it nichush? Isn't this exactly the dictionary definition of nichush? Simanim or milsa? That's nichush. It's sorcery, it's superstition. How is it not? We saw four different reasons why it's not. And then we did a little survey of the different menhagim, Rav Yashav, Shlomo Zalman, the Stipler. We saw different perspectives about the order, and do you say the Hiratzon, and when do you eat, and do you do it at every meal or only the beginning meals, and some of the other menhagim. Wishing everyone a Shana Toiva. U Mesuka. Thank you so very much.